Well, I thought it was...
The only eagle in Times Square is on that beer sign, isn't it?
I thought it was such a nice day, Jim. I'd like to talk to the birds, you know. So I went over and talked to a fellow who's called an eagle. And I didn't know what an eagle was, but...
I don't know yet what an eagle is.
Well, I found out. You see, all those twinkling lights on Broadway have to be repaired because every so often they go out. A man by the name of Ralph Dittmar is the superintendent of repair electricians for Art Kraft Strauss.
You mean there's a daring electrician for every broken light on Broadway?
Huh? Ooh, boy.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Dittmar, what are those clickings in the background, huh?
Well, that's the Translux transmitters making that noise. They're transmitting a message over to the motographs on the different signs on the avenue.
What do you mean by motographs?
Motograph is a sign that gives you the news or whatever information the customer wants on the sign itself.
Now, these little machines here, then, they're being fed tape, and this is controlling the signs all over Broadway.
That's right. From that tape, it works through the different relays on the particular sign itself, and then it functions out on the sign itself. It gives you the reading that they want.
What's your job? What do you do around here?
My job is to see that everything is working properly and see that everything is lit in good order.
You're the man that has to make sure everything's lit up there.
I gotta see that everything is in tip-top shape.
Now, what's this thing you have in your hand here now? Is this a report?
Well, this is a nightman's report.
Yeah.
And on it, he'll tell me what he sees is out.
Yeah.
And whatever he puts down on this sheet, then I'll get that at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, now, which one are you going to have to take care of today? Can you give us an example?
Today I'll take care of the TWA.
What's wrong with TWA?
Well, there's a lot of neon out in different letters.
How about plane motors ordered, stop, fuses pulled? What's going on there?
Well, the plane motors evidently had trouble on them, and they blew fuses. So I have the machinists up there now, and they're working on that, and they'll take care of that. And then we have Kleenex. We have neon out on the Kleenex all over on 43rd Street and Broadway side. And the men will take care of that. Then after that, I have the Flying Eagle is out on Budweiser, 49th Street, Broadway. And also some of the letters are out.
Well, Mr. Dittmar, just what do you do, though? What is your job? What do you have to do? Do you get out and climb all around these things, or what?
Well, I have the men climbing around, and if necessary, I get out with them. If it's not, well, then they can take care of most of the stuff. And most of the stuff, though, we have big spectaculars, takes four men. It's on a scaffold job. It requires four men. We have two men on a scaffold, one man on the roof, and the other man in the shanty. He handles the controls. And incidentally, we use telephones. We have power phones. On one I have with me on the rig, and one the fella has in the shanty. Then I call back and forth and tell him what I want on, and he puts what I want on. And then I go and work, and if I finish that, well, then I'll tell them to throw something else on.
You have to go out and climb on that wing on that airplane sign outside?
Yes, I go out on the plane if there's any lights out. The wing tip lights are out. I'll go out there, and I'll change them. And then after that, then we come back, and we'll do something else.
Long fall down, isn't it?
Well, it's a long fall. I mean, you never get the second chance.
Anybody ever injured in your crew?
No. Nobody's ever been injured as far as being off from work. Nobody ever lost any time, because I try to tell them to be careful, that they don't get hurt, use the right equipment to see that they don't get hurt.
Don't you get a little shaky out there sometimes?
Well, you used to, but it doesn't bother you as much now as it did in the beginning. But you still don't like the fall.
What's the great satisfaction in your job?
To go home.
Really?
That's right.
Must get pretty rough on a cold, windy day, doesn't it?
Well, that's the worst time on this business, is the cold weather. Because you have to try to climb, keep warm at the same time, and keep your mind on what you're doing.
What do you have to do? What do you do when you get up there?
Well, we got to test the neon. We have to have the sign on. And most of the neon works on 15,000 volts. You have to do the testing with the current on. And then after you find the trouble, you have the current turned off. And then you repair your trouble, and then have it turned on again to see if it's fixed.
How do you climb up and down those signs?
Well, you climb up with your hands and legs, and that's about all. In the front of it, you use a scaffold. You have two men on a scaffold, two men down below, all the time.
You think that these signs in Times Square give the person from out of town the real image of New York City?
Yes, the people out of town would enjoy it. But the average person that is works on them, like myself, it doesn't mean anything to us. All we're interested is to get them lit. The boss gets paid, and that's what he gets paid for, and that's what we get paid for, to see that the jobs are lit and lit right.
What do your neighbors say where you live? Where do you live, first of all?
I live up in the Bronx.
Will they find out that you work down in Times Square on these spectacular signs? Don't they get kind of interested well about it?
Well, what they do get interested about, they want to know what kind of shows are playing in the different theaters, and they always ask me, and I always say I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
Don't you watch the signs to see what's going on?
I don't watch the signs, and I never know what pitch is playing in any theater. Or unless I look in a paper myself.
So you work in the daytime. You never see the signs lit then?
Very seldom at night, because I don't come near the avenue at night. That is the night man's job.
And you said before the most exciting part of your job is what?
Going home.
Thank you, Mr. Dittmar.
That was the story from the man who takes care of the little bulbs on Broadway. But it was a good interview, Dave, but what I want to know is, when did the time bomb go off? What is that infernal ticking in the background?
The ticking was the little machine that controls the news flashing sign on Broadway. They were feeding
the translux things
tape.
That go across?
Mm-hmm. The little tape was going through the machine, tick, 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 tick.
Sounded like Thurber's story about the engine, instead of going pocket to pocket to pocket, it was going pocket to pocket to queep, pocket to queep. And it was terrible thing. It was in Walter Mitty somewhere. Well, now we know about the Eagles who go up and repair the Eagles when the lights go out on Broadway. And here's the old book.
Blow it off. I just blowing the
dust.
Yes, yes.
Book of Dusty Manuscripts. We will see what happened on this date, May 13. In 1888, in a rolling basso profundo voice, the actor DeWolf Hopper
This is WCBS and WCBS-FM, New York.
Good evening. It's 6:30, Friday, September 16th, and this is Jack Walters with the New York Story. A former Russian citizen, an immigrant of many years ago, is producer of New York's greatest and longest-lived spectacular. I met him earlier today in his office at 57th Street and 12th Avenue. His name, Jake Starr. His story in the best tradition of a free society. Jake Starr has been called the lamplighter of Broadway, with no poetical strain on the term. Jake was born in Russia in 1893. After studying to be an electrician at a trade school, he helped construct the name of the school in lights with a 6-candle power sign on the building. It was the first electric sign of its type in Russia, he told me today, and possibly in all Europe. Jake came to this country after serving an almost incredible apprenticeship under a Polish master, a man he calls a genius. For a time, though, young Starr couldn't understand the source of his mentor's large and continued income until he discovered his boss was making his own rubles. The money was perfect in every detail, Jake recalled, except that it contained no silver. When government agents discovered the counterfeit, they were so impressed by its quality that they offered the offender a full pardon in exchange for the secret alloy he used to simulate silver. The Pole refused and died in prison. Jake came to this country in 1907, and in 1910 he first met one Ben Strauss, then making signs for such theatrical pioneers as David Belasco, Claw and Erlinger, and Al Jolson. Jake got a job with him, quit to form his own electric sign company a few years later, returned to merge the business with Strauss, and today Jake Starr is boss man of the Art Craft Strauss Sign Corporation, the largest firm of its kind in the world. 90% of the lights you see on New York's Great White Way have been put there by Jake Starr and his company. His craftsmen and electricians construct all the big signs you see around Broadway and 42nd Street, and in Times Square itself. They built the model of that TWA constellation just recently taken down, the fabulous waterfall advertising Bond clothes for so many years. Incidentally, the waterfall ran continually for 12 years, Jake told me. And all the other wonderful, animated, and intriguing signs that form the heart and soul of Times Square to visiting firemen and New Yorkers alike. Jake likes to think of his work as a single extravaganza and of himself as producer and director of the biggest show with the longest run of them all in an amphitheater of lights, or lamps as they're called in the trade. The spectator travels via the signs an airline's route across the continent to that of Europe, Africa, Asia, and India. Across 43rd Street, meantime, little Lulu swings down to greet us from her Kleenex playground, skipping from letter to letter, and then sliding down a sheet of Kleenex as though into a giant pond. Then back into time, to the year 1820, to watch Johnny Walker go through the paces of his jaunty, never-tiring marathon. He walks 44 miles each evening, covering 16,000 miles per year. He's also the tallest man on Broadway at the present time, standing 25 feet high and taking a 20-foot stride. On Duffy Square, one of the brightest duets in the business, Canadian Club and Admiral, on a colorful stage actually larger than the infield at Yankee Stadium. Then as a finale, you may recall the old Budweiser beer wagon pulled by a team of powerful Clydesdale horses which used to ride across the stage. From time to time, the signs change, but the essential glitter remains. In the Times Square area alone, there are some 200,000 square feet of signs, lights, marquees, and panels for bulletins, bigger, in fact, than four regulation football fields. The Wonder Sign, with its electronic pictures, contains 27,000 bulbs and 500,000 electrical connections, enough for an entire town or a small city. Jake Starr himself is a small, compactly built man of 67 with an air about him of tremendous vitality and alertness. He says he works more now than he did 30 years ago. I work 12 to 14 hours a day, he says, and I have no intention of retiring. I believe in hard work. I feel I'd begin to slip and go downhill if I were to retire from all this. All this includes a thriving workshop of sheet metal workers, electricians, sign painters, portrait artists, and machinists. Then there are the men of the so-called light brigade, troubleshooters who spot burned out lamps, short-circuited connections, and so on. These are all replaced as quickly as possible, many times before people notice that anything's wrong. In the Palace Theater, which could be a story by itself, incidentally, is the sign company's control room, where night operators, usually students in the daytime, teletype all kinds of messages across the electronic panels of the Translux signs throughout the lighted canyons of Times Square. These messages are composed of regular commercials alternating with the time and temperature, various public service announcements, and messages in connection with civic ceremonies such as the arrival of dignitaries to New York. And a final kind of message, occasionally an executive of one of the advertising sponsors may come to town. His arrival in Times Square will be known beforehand, and when he shows up, the sign will suddenly blaze forth, "Hi, Sam, welcome to New York." There's a story which Jake Starr was unable to confirm that one of the young student operators some years ago had his girl wait for him in Times Square, and looking up, she suddenly read for all the world to see, "Dolores, I love you. Will you marry me?" No more incredible, whether true or not, than the story of Jake Starr himself, whose life has spanned continents and whose energy and imagination have lent the magic aura and artistry associated with the great white way for two generations here in New York. Well, that's tonight's New York story, Jack Walters reporting.
There's an old show business expression which says, there's a broken heart for every light on old Broadway. Let's certainly hope not. Come over here, because in just 3 minutes, another 4,000 lights are going to be added to an already glittering Great White Way in Times Square. The biggest spectacular sign on Broadway. 8 stories high and 180 feet long, makes its debut this very evening. And to witness that event tonight now goes to Earl Wilson in Times Square.
Thank you, Jolly Jack. Earl Wilson here at 43rd and Broadway, near that famous out-of-town newsstand in the heart of Times Square. My mother always said, Jack, I'd wind up in the gutter if I went in the newspaper business. Looks like I have. In a few moments, we'll witness the lighting of Broadway's biggest and newest spectacular sign. Right now, it's very dark up there, but soon the sky will burst into light. The switch will be pulled by little Anna Maria Christie, the 6-year-old Heart Fund poster girl, opening the 1957 Heart Fund Drive. First, though, I want to talk to the construction engineer of this sign, Frank Brannon. Frank, come over here, will you please? Frank, this sign we're going to see has been called the brightest and the most colorful on Broadway. How bright and how colorful is it?
We think it's the brightest
sign in the world. It contains 25,000 feet of fluorescent tubing and is built with more transformers than any transformer and any sign in the world.
Frank, how many of Broadway's bright lights do you think you've been responsible for?
I think I'm responsible for, with my company, of course, Artcraft Strauss, for about 95% of the signs along Broadway.
How'd you get into this racket, Frank?
I was brought up on the West Side. I come from 41st Street and 9th Avenue. And during my early childhood, I walked along the avenue, and I saw all these spectaculars, and I thought it'd be a good business to get into.
You've been responsible for all of these, have you?
About 95% of all the signs along Broadway.
And, well, Frank, now I want to ask you, where is our plug going to be up there? Tonight is going to be shown there somewhere?
Well, the plug is going to be shown on Admiral, and that is the sign that Mayor Wagner turned on by means of a cosmic ray about 5 years ago. And then we come around to the TWA, which is right ahead of us here, and that is a sign that has more control apparatus on it than any sign in the world.
Okay, thank you, Frank. And now I got to call over the little gal who is going to pull this big switch here and turn and start the whole thing on and cause your creation to go into life. Here we are, Anna Marie Christie, the 1957 Heart Fund poster girl. Will you please come over here, honey? Thank you. Now, Anna Marie, when does the Heart Fund drive begin?
February the 1st.
And where do you send your money?
To the Heart Fund.
What address? You know where you send it? Well, we'll find that out later. Research into the cause of heart disease is very costly, and your dimes and dollars will help many thousands of heart patients to lead normal and useful lives again. And now, little Miss Christie, are you going to pull this big switch here and light Times Square's biggest and brightest spectacular sign right here, honey? Now turn around here. Okay, I'll help you. Okay. There it is. You see it? And there it is. From the southeast corner of Times Square, a new and dazzling sign for the Great White Way. Even though it's what time now? What time is it there? 12? Well, anyway, I can't see the clock. The street is as bright as noon as Broadway reaches out to light up the night. And this is Earl Wilson taking you back to Jolly Jack Lasculli at the Exhibition Hall.
Okay.
This is Charlie Holmes speaking from the rooftop of Toffanetti's famous restaurant on Times Square in New York City, where Trans World Airlines is playing host to boys and girls of all faiths and races, representing children's homes and institutions in the greater New York area. The children are gathered here to witness the wonderful Macy's Thanksgiving Parade, the most famous holiday spectacular in the nation, and it's just for children. These children are gathered with us, would not otherwise be able to enjoy this wonderful Macy Parade if it weren't for the hospitality extended by Toffanetti's, Trans World Airlines, and of course Macy's and the parade. Now we're going to meet some of our special guests here this morning. Hello.
Charlotte Garrett.
How are you, Charlotte?
All right.
You look a little bit cold.
I am.
Kind of windy here, isn't it, on this
yes.
roof? Now let's find out who this young fella is. Hi.
Hello.
What's your name?
Monroe Richards.
Well, Monroe, we're glad to have you with us today. You know, you're going to get to sign a great big Christmas card that's going all the way across the Pacific Ocean. Did you know that?
No.
Well, you'll find out about it in a little bit. Hi, how are you?
All right.
And who are you?
Rosemary Wild.
Rosemary, we're glad you could come and visit this morning and see the parade. You're cold, aren't you?
Yeah.
So am I. By golly, it's awful cold. Hi.
Hi.
And who are you?
Carl Jones from Graham School.
Well, thank you, Carl. You're going to sign a Christmas card here in a minute. Do you know where it's going?
Yes.
Where does it go?
It's going to Korea where I can't explain it no more.
Well, all right. We will a little bit later, okay?
Okay.
And hi, who are you?
Marjorie Thomas from Grand School.
Oh, boy, you talk right up, don't you?
Yes.
How old are you, Marjorie?
11.
Well, we're going to talk to your friend over here and find out who he is. He's got his ear muffs down and everything. Hi.
Hello.
Who are you?
Leo Donio from Grand School.
Leo, you got your writing hand all set to sign this great big Christmas card?
Yes.
Fine. Well, now, I guess those of you listening are wondering just what this Christmas card is, and we'd better get to that right away, because next to me is Erwin Hansen, who is the who is the creator of the wonderful comic strip Dondi. And of course, Dondi appears in the New York Daily News and 130 other newspapers, including the Chicago Trib News. Irwin, how did you start on this particular cartoon?
Well, Charlie, Gus Edson, who is the creator of the Gumps, also does this. He also created Dondi with me. Uh-huh. And we both traveled around the world entertaining troops all through the war. And, well, this little Dondi is sort of the figment of our imagination, the backwash of the times that we live in. And he's a symbol from Central Europe, Korea, and all over the world of a little war orphans.
Uh-huh.
And that's how Dondi came to be.
In other words, Dondi is kind of representative of war orphans everywhere.
That's right. That's right.
Well, Irwin, it's a pleasure to talk to you. And right next to you is one of the most wonderful guys in the world, Colonel Dean E. Hess. And Dean, tell us very briefly about Hope Incorporated, would you?
Well, Charlie, Hope is Incorporated is a tax-exempt nonprofit charity that we have set up to take care of the children in the homes over in Korea. We are able to operate that corporation without any deductions for operating or administrative expense because they are all volunteers in the corporation.
I see, Colonel. Well, the children here are lined up to sign a gigantic Christmas card, which is a picture of Dondi, and this Christmas card will soon be on its way to Korea with the signatures of all the boys and girls around us. So the first little girl is signing right now, and then Colonel Dean Hess is signing the Christmas card, a Christmas greeting to our friends in Korea, the little orphan children. And time for me to tell you, we've been speaking to you from the rooftop of Toffanetti's famous restaurant in Times Square in New York City, where the very great Transworld Airlines is playing host to children of all faiths and races, from children's homes and institutions, assembled here to watch the great Macy Thanksgiving Day Parade. Our thanks and those of the children go to Toffanetti's, Transworld Airline, and to Macy's, who annually provide the magnificent Thanksgiving Day Parade, just for children. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Charlie Holmes speaking. This is Mutual, the radio network for all America.